Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
And we welcome all of you back here to the program. Second hour is live. What else would it be? Friday here, 3 weeks from today, we'll be on the road getting you ready for the first full weekend of college football. More of your calls right now, and Terry is in Georgia. Hello, Terry.
Hey, Paul. Happy Friday.
Thank you very much.
Those who have questions about Georgia, more of the questions are on the defensive side of the ball, but I think for the most part they're going to be fine. Paul, do you think eventually there will be a governing body over NIL?
It's a good question because right now there is no uniformity because of the various state. I think ultimately there will be. They'll figure out a way to get national legislation. Probably not soon,
okay.
But
I'm thinking
that will be the ticket to it. Then there could be an advisory
money,
group,
a lot of position money, things of that nature. Hey, Paul, what are the changes to targeting for this year, do you know?
Yeah, Terry, for some reason I could not quite get your – okay, hold on a second. We have an update on the this sounds very familiar. I'm talking to Jamari, so let me explain what's happened here. The artist formerly known as Jim called in yesterday. He called back and cursed at Jamari, who is one of our key people. And we determined today that he could come back on the air as long as he apologized to Jamari. So Jamari's telling me that he did apologize or didn't apologize. Okay, so he said, and I'm quoting now, "I'm sorry." And then he asked Jamari, "Are you ready to apologize?" So Jamari, your answer was, I think that was the end of the conversation. See, things have changed here. We don't kowtow to the guy quite as much as we used to. Let's continue. Dylan is up next.
What's going on, Paul? Jim's an idiot, so yeah, keep him off here. But anyways, man, so I wanted to give you a opportunity to agree or disagree with me on a positional breakdown between Georgia and Alabama here, okay?
Before you do that, hold on a second. Why does it matter right now, considering they're not due to play for about 5 months?
Well, I get that, okay, but I really think that Alabama's getting a little bit too much credit with everybody across the nation. I think they've got a few glaring weaknesses that.
Okay, well, let's do this. Let's talk about where you see as that. What do you see as their glaring weakness or weaknesses?
Well, Paul, Bryce Young's a fantastic quarterback, but if you can't keep him off his butt, they're going to have a hard time getting it to the people that need the ball. So I think offensive line's a huge weakness for them. And honestly, I mean, the past 2-3 years, they've had some fantastic wide receivers. And I really don't think they've got that this year. I think they've got a decent stable of backs. I think that would, you know, that's probably a better stable of backs than, or wide receivers, I'm sorry, than most people in the country. But it's not elite like they've had in the past. You know, the wide receiver on the top of their depth chart right now is Jermaine Burton. And he come from Georgia, and I mean, to be honest with you, he couldn't cut enough snaps at Georgia to stay there. So I don't know why people are giving them so much credit on that end. And you know, I think there's a few glaring weaknesses that will probably cost them when it's all said and done.
Well, I don't know, Dylan, if that was sharp analysis or wishful thinking, but either way, it makes for an interesting fall. How about Sarge up next in Kentucky? Hello, Sarge.
Good afternoon. Last time I called in, I used the name Squirrel's Grandson. I thought I'd use something closer to what I really am or was back in the day. but thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
It was good to hear from Hugh from Deep Gap the other day. I felt like we went a month or two without hearing from him. On this whole Cal Stoops issue, I want to bring up a point, and no one else has said it until you mentioned it a few minutes ago, but the truth of the matter is the football program is bringing in more money and more attention than basketball. I had tickets to the Final Four. I was super excited. I'm happy Cal is our coach now, and he can stay here as long as he wants. He knows that. The whole world knows that. But I do think there's going to be a relationship problem between the fan base and Cal, and possibly the entire athletic department, when we're playing Robert Morris in early November, and there's only 4,000 people in the stands at Rupp. And this is coming from a guy who, Paul, I went down to Thompson Bowling. It was the last thing I did before COVID. And it blew me away. I've grown up my whole life going to games in upper and lower arena at Rupp, and I thought it was as good as it gets. And then I saw Thompson Bowling, and the way that they did the suites, it's really the whole half of the upper deck on one side. It was like a pro stadium experience. I really enjoyed it myself. But I just think it's going to be an optics problem and a relationship problem. What do you think?
Sarge, I'll try to be sparingly on cliches, but little things become big things when you're in a vulnerable position. And you're right. Most of what happened last year had calmed down. And Cal can be his own best friend or his worst enemy. And I think what he did yesterday was a mistake. I don't know how many adjectives I want to use to describe it, but he's given the media and the fan base something to talk about on a day that normally would be a celebration of Kentucky basketball playing some exhibition games down in the Bahamas.
I've heard others say, Matt Jones included, that Cal is at his best when he has sort of a counterparty and someone else that he can really go toe-to-toe with.
Sure.
And that can make him feel like he has something to prove. And it seems like lately, by accident or just unintentionally, he's sort of tripping on himself. And that person is now becoming large segments of the fan base. And it's unfortunate because I still love him.
No, you're right. Sarge, there are a lot of people that politicians included, who need a nemesis. It evens it out a little bit. And Cal used to, but here's another Cal problem, I think, and it has nothing to do with what he said yesterday or even losing to St. Peter's. I think one of his biggest problems comes within the SEC, and it's coaches like Musselman and Nate Oates, who are younger. And Musselman's not that much younger, but he just seems that way. These are vibrant guys who have recruited well. Bruce Pearl is an issue. And then this whole
Absolutely.
Collection of other coaches. I mean, there are six new coaches in the SEC. Many of the names the average fan couldn't come up with. But among this group, there could be a big star. And I think I know where one of them may be residing right now. And when you're his age, you have to just keep relevant. I mean, Tom Izzo just got a new contract yesterday. He's older than Cal, but he's also probably held in higher regard right now.
Yeah. Can I leave you with one thought? I had
Sure.
a crazy notion walking my dog the other day, and this would take a lot of things to happen, and I don't want them to happen. I want to be clear. Let's talk about Mark Stoops getting hired away. And if it were Notre Dame or if it were Auburn, my God, we're going to help impact. We love that man, but, you know, he's deserved it if that's what he wants to go do at some point. Let's say that Cal gets another championship, best case scenario, and then he feels like it's time for him to bow out. Imagine a world where Bruce Pearl is the basketball coach at UK, and what if Mike Leach decided, hey, you know.
Let me jump in. I don't really see Bruce Pearl leaving Auburn. I know that you could say, well, Kentucky's Kentucky, but I think Bruce Pearl has found his sweet spot right now. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute, and would Mike Leach be the choice is a question. We're back. Long way to go here on a Friday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back here on a Friday afternoon. Jim is next.
Okay, you know the thing they do in the court. I can't even remember how it goes, but you know where they say, do you
promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing
truth,
else?
Nothing but the truth will help you guide, right?
Right.
I do. Here's what I wanted to tell you. Here's what happened. I was furious at your buddy, your lawyer buddy, for doing what he did and saying what he. I think he's the biggest hypocrite I've ever seen, and he burns me up. But I was furious at him. So I called, and Jamari answered, and I said, let me back on with that guy. And Jamari wouldn't let me on, and he said something. He didn't say anything right to me, but I got mad. And you remember what I said to Shane back years ago? You remember that?
No, I don't.
You remember the word I said to Shane?
Well, Jim, remember, before you implicate yourself here, Jamari told me exactly what you said to him.
I said exactly the word
okay.
It starts with an F that I said to Shane. Long time ago. You remember that, don't you?
Well, I just got through answering the question saying I didn't remember it. So, I didn't remember what you said to him, but I certainly remember what Jamari said you said to him yesterday.
I know, and that's exactly what I said to Jamari. Just use the F word. That's it.
So,
he agreed
so
with it.
Using the F word with a preposition behind it, that's mature? Is that what you're telling me?
No, don't try to judge me. I'm telling you what happened, okay?
I'm not judging you. I am simply reciting what you said here yesterday. That's all.
I told you what I said.
Well, I don't need you to tell me. I've already heard it from Jamal.
Well, here's what I'm trying to get at, Paul. I didn't want it to be your buddy, Hardcore Mo, Elmo. He sent me a tweet, said that you insinuated I said the N-word.
He's insane if he said that, okay?
Well, that's what he told me.
By the way, I really don't care what he said. I know what you said, and he can make up or fabricate
or do whatever he wants. That's why I wanted to clear this up?
Yeah, I want you to. You're welcome to clear it up, of course.
I just cleared up that's what I said. I apologized a while ago to him, and I was wrong to use that word. You're right, but I was furious for him not letting me on air because I wanted to go after verbally like your lawyer buddy from Marsville or wherever he's from.
Maryville.
Was getting on me. I know where he's from, but he's a hypocrite. Now, here's what I want to tell you, Paul.
Okay.
I don't like the show anymore. I don't like the show anymore. I will not be calling the show anymore. I can't stand the show. It's simple as that. You've got a bunch of rednecks like Dylan.
Tell us what you don't like about it, because a lot of people seem to like it based on word of mouth.
Simple enough, I don't like the show. I think even a moron would understand what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, that could be my problem.
Well, maybe it is, but that's all I got to say.
So did he say you have to be a moron to understand why Jim doesn't like the show, or only a moron or a moron would understand it?
Yes.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
Yeah. Help me understand it, Trey. Good afternoon.
Keep the S-O, you know what, off the show, Paul. Nobody cares about his old man drama on this show. The show has passed him up, and nobody cares. Nobody cares about it, Paul. We want to talk football. It's football season. Tell him to find somewhere else to go and talk about his problems. He needs some help. But, Paul, let's get past Jim. The show's better without him, and I think most callers would agree with me. Paul, you got called all kinds of names yesterday. Piss ant, all kinds. What's going on with that, Paul? You got some Alabama fans upset because you said something about Nick Saban. Am I correct?
Well, you are correct about that, yes.
Well, Paul, I'm going to tell you what. You can call it excuses, or you can call it, rebuilding, whatever you want to call it. It don't matter, Paul. It's a new year. I'm way past all that. And this is what gets me about the guy that just called in, talking about Alabama has some glaring weaknesses. And he mentioned the Alabama offensive line. And he is absolutely correct. That offensive line last year was pitiful with that glaring weakness. And they still made it to the national championship game. So what are these people talking about? Is Alabama the only football team out there that has a glaring weakness? And I'm going to say this to the Georgia fans. You will lose three games this year, total. You'll lose one SEC game. Kentucky, Tennessee, maybe. You'll lose to Alabama in the SEC championship game because you will make it. And then y'all won't care about the bowl game once you lose the SEC championship game because you will not be in the Final Four, and you'll lose the bowl game. So, Paul, let's get ready to kick this football season off, and let's talk the trash talking back up and tell Georgia you are done this year. Three losses, Paul. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Elliot up next. Good afternoon, Elliot.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Gino is absolutely wrong. This is no longer the days of Woody Hayes, and here's the problem. The schools can't take one dime of that advertising money and give it to the students. So here's where I would spend the money. First, I would go attract Lincoln Riley, who's already with us, but I would get Lane Kiffin to come over to the Big Ten because that's where we're going to get talent. It's the Michigan State coach, Mel Tucker. It's the Lane Kiffins of the world. It's USC getting Lincoln Riley. We need another, big coach in here that comes in that has doing the all rights and all that stuff from the SEC. That's what we need in the Big Ten. And what's scary is now that we've walked away from ESPN, who controls the CFP, coverage, all the influence.
Well, hold on, Elliot. When you say ESPN controls the CFP, they hold the contract, but the contract's running out soon, and that's all they have to do with it. They don't choose anything other than when the television part of it. The CFP, CFP committee is chosen by the commissioners. ESPN has nothing to do with that.
But what's been in the press is the coverage, like when Desmond Howard was up for Heisman and all that coverage and like that relationship.
That was also 29 years ago.
Yeah, but, I mean, those relationships need to stay intact. We shouldn't depart from that. I mean,
Elliot,
there needs to be
That's what they say. I mean, the bottom line is that ship has passed. It has sailed. It doesn't really matter. Maybe because I work here, I don't see it the same way. I mean, nobody's going to sit here and minimize or discount the importance of ESPN. It's self-explanatory, but the Big Ten made a deal. They're charting a new course. Good for them. They've got their own network, like this. They've got all these other tributaries, and, what they need is some championships on the field, not, wins in the boardroom. We'll take a break. More to come. We'll talk about the LSU situation in a moment with Scott Rabelais, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back. Great to have you with us. We were listening to Brian Kelly a minute ago talking about a number of things. Let's find out more about that from Scott Rabelais. We saw Scott recently in Atlanta. Always check in with Scott on the LSU scene. Scott, thanks for the time. So give us your impressions of where we are a week and a half in on the quarterback situation. Good day.
Good day, Paul. Good to be with you again. Yesterday we were at practice for the whole 2 hours and a little bit of scrimmage action. Looked to obviously see who's doing what in this four-man quarterback derby. Really between three guys, Jaden Daniels, a transfer from Arizona State, Miles Brennan, who's been here since the Carter administration, and Garrett Nussmeier, who played some last year, even though he's still got a red shirt. We did not see Garrett Nussmeier much yesterday. He's battling an ankle sprain. Nothing serious, but it kept him from doing the team stuff. But what we saw in the team stuff was Jaden Daniels take the lion's share of the snaps, and Miles Brennan not get with the ones until just the last few plays. And so it was a little bit startling to see the disparity there. I throw a little caveat in. We got to see Nussmeier, and next week we have a scrimmage that we in the media are going to be allowed to view, and so we're going to see what he can do by then, assuming he's back. So you still have to throw him in there, but Daniels looks like the guy to beat right now from what we've seen based on what we could see so far in practice.
Scott, not to divert, but I'm interested in something you just said. And we talk to reporters all the time, and we were talking to a few grumbling Alabama reporters the other day about not getting to see anything. Is this a shift in policy, or has LSU always been pretty open when it comes to seeing practice?
It's definitely been a shift in policy. I've been racking my brain to try to remember the last time I was at an entire LSU football practice. And it was probably when Jerry DiNardo was the coach back in the 90s. With Orgeron, we got the first few minutes. A lot of practice, like you go out every day. And we don't go every day to LSU. But seeing a full practice, we've gotten to talk to his coordinators. We had Mike Denbrock, the offensive coordinator, early this week. And we were going to get Matt House, the defensive coordinator, even the special teams guy, Brian Polian. And didn't get that much with the previous coaches at LSU, unless it was like at the preseason media day or at a bowl game. So, yeah, it's definitely a shift. And now, we have not been told what we can get to like in the season. But I've been happy with it. I don't really relish being the columnist. I don't relish having to go out there every single day to watch practice. But, selected spots, and then we get to see some scrimmages. And Paul, I'm here, had this experience. There's nothing worse than feeling like a dope standing outside Tiger Stadium. Well, the people who provide jobs and other big VIPs get to come out. They've just seen a scrimmage, and you got to go and ask the coach, what happened? Because we didn't see it. So that's going to be different, and we're appreciative of that.
Yeah, and I am past this, and I know you are as well. I mean, it's a big deal if you cover the team. But I will tell you, and I've been to many practices early in my career, and yeah, you pick stuff up, but primarily you pick stuff up from the fat cats who are popping in, who know more than everybody else.
That's true, and we've seen some of that. And then we heard from the former player who's got a radio show here in town, and he got to stay for a practice where they allow some former players to stay. And he was also saying Jaden Daniels was taking most of the snaps, and they, I think he probably got a little bit of hot water for that one. But but it kind of follows along with what we've been saying. Like, you know, why, what makes him the best candidate is that they want to run some read options. They want to be able to roll out the quarterbacks, and he's got the most mobility. There was a lot of plays in the spring game. You thought, you know, they whistle him down, but it could have been a 20-25 yard gain if they let him go. And that's the kind of offense Mike Denbrock ran last year at Cincinnati with Desmond Ridder. And he said he can adapt his offense to whoever is the quarterback, whatever talents he has. And not to imply the other guys are statues, but it would seem at this point Daniels would give them more of the playbook that they can use throughout the season.
Talking to Scott Rabelais, and Scott, yeah, we've asked you a lot of these questions repeatedly since Brian Kelly got there, but just overall, do you think the bumpy beginning is in the rearview mirror, and do you think it really mattered in the end? Because it just, from my vibes, talking to you and talking to Kelly a little bit and being down there recently, it just seems like this program is in pretty good shape right now.
I think ultimately it's not going to matter that much. Like, let's be kind of honest here. People are kind of used to making fun of the LSU football coach. I mean, they've gotten used to that, right?
Yeah, it's been a while since they haven't. Yeah.
It was the, you know, Ed Orgeron. He's, you know, everybody thought of him as a caricature from the someone who was in the movie The Water Boy, but he really wasn't. He was in The Blind Side, but not The Water Boy. And then Les Miles, well, with the high hat and the Eden grass and the goofy things he said. You know, going back to Saban, you haven't had somebody like this, you know, so much a business-like person running the program. And Brian's not exactly like Saban, but there are similarities. And I think that's a little, as far as people around here are concerned, yeah, the fans, I think they're pretty much behind that. Like, everyone here is wondering, as elsewhere, you know, this guy's from Massachusetts. He's coached his whole career in the Midwest. What is he going to be like down here? You just have the fit of all fits with Ed Orgeron, a guy who's literally from South Louisiana. But, you know, does that really ultimately matter? Nick Saban wasn't from here and never coached around here when he came to LSU, and he won a national championship, and you know, things went pretty well from there. So, you know, is that ultimately going to matter? I mean, it's whatever you think of the way people here in Louisiana speak, or, you know, what we say or what we do, the common language throughout college football is winning football games, and that's what Brian Kelly's going to be judged on ultimately, not if he affects an accent at a basketball game or dances with a recruit or something like that. So I think that's ultimately what it's going to be all about, and he knows that.
And, Scott, it always comes down to winning. You're right. And speaking of that, and I've asked you this question, I think, five times since Brian Kelly has arrived, and I'll keep asking until there's something to talk about legitimately. But as you think about this schedule, which starts with Florida State in New Orleans, Mississippi State early on, it's a manageable schedule at Auburn, then Tennessee, which really seems like an important stretch there, Tennessee and Florida. In consecutive weekends, what are you? Yeah. Are you still thinking a really good season? Have you altered it? Where are you?
Brian was asked this yesterday, and I think, you know, so what? How important is the opener? You know, what's important about the opener? I guess basically, he said it's obviously important to win, but it can be a barometer for how you play. I think that Florida State game looms very large in terms of, again, the LSU's a slight favorite in. Florida State will have a game before that, but it's a game LSU playing in New Orleans in the Superdome. Probably should win. They're going to have most of the crowd. And then you go through the next four games. Once you get the Auburn game, they have a chance to start 5-0 before you get into Tennessee, at Florida, Ole Miss, Alabama, at Arkansas. That's a really tough five-game stretch there for anybody. And so there's a chance to build some momentum and confidence and chemistry. I mean, there's going to be some growing pains for this team. There's a lot of questions to answer. We just talked about a quarterback. They're trying to figure out most of the starters on the offense. Line that built some chemistry, cohesiveness in the secondary that's got talent and experience, but not a lot of guys who play together. They have all new kickers and a new deep snapper and new returners this year even. You know, there's a lot of questions to answer. Who's going to emerge at running back? But they do have a chance with the manageable part of the schedule is the early part. And if they can get off to an early good start, I think this team can max out at 9-3. I think that in Las Vegas the number is 7 wins over under. I think 8-4 would be acceptable to a lot of LSU fans this year, and then try to build on from there. But I think a lot of it is how they look, and how, you know, do they look more organized and disciplined, and you know, showing a more effective style under Brian Kelly than they have the last 2 years under Ogeron.
Finally, certainly, in terms of great players, Boucher has got getting a lot of the attention. In addition to the quarterback situation, there's always what's the deal down there? We've heard him talk. We've heard Brian Kelly talk. What are your impressions of that relationship?
Well, I think it got off to a slow start between Brian and Kayshawn in the spring. Brian said, I think, what was his quote? I know his last name. You know, was like, you know, it wasn't, he had to, previously under Ed Orgeron, I'm not picking on Ed, it's just the way he did it. Players who were injured, and Kayshawn was out all spring because he got injured at the Kentucky game last year, about midway through the season, had to have 2 ankle surgeries to get right, and so he wasn't ready by the spring. And under Orgeron, you know, injured players could kind of rehab on their own. He wanted Kayshawn at practice, and I think there was a little bit of a disconnect with what was expected of him and what he wanted. But that has blossomed, you know, to the point where they gave him the number 7. Of course, they make a lot of the number 18 here, but number 7, LSU had 7 All-Americans were number 7. You're expected to be the best player, especially the best player who's a Louisiana native. You wear number 7. Burt Jones wore number 7. Leonard Fournette, Tyrann Mathieu, Patrick Peterson, players like that. So, you know, it's kind of a big deal. So, they've grown. And look, Brian Kelly maybe had to get his message across to Kayshawn, and Kayshawn, who was admitted he was a little down and a little discouraged, and at least thought about transferring at some points during the offseason, had to come around a little bit. But Kelly needs him, and Kayshawn needs him. I mean, he has a chance to be a top half of the first round draft pick if he has a great year this year, and so he needs to be the featured player in the offense, and he needs to be featured in the offense to show what he can do, that he's recovered from that really serious ankle injury last year.
Always great to catch up with Scott Rabelais down in Baton Rouge with the latest on LSU. They play Florida State, of course, on Sunday night of Labor Day weekend. We'll hit the break here. Thanks very much, Scott. Your phone call's right around the corner on a busy, busy Friday afternoon. The former commissioner of the SEC coming up later.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And Dave is up next. We continue here Friday afternoon. Dave is in Kentucky. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. This is about Jim from Tuscaloosa. I got a question for you.
Okay.
How can Bryce Mental Hospital in Tuscaloosa allow Jim to make phone calls? He ought to be put in a straitjacket during the show. Just your thought.
Yeah. One thing I don't want to do is incite him any more than he's already been. So I'll show some diplomacy in responding to your question. But
all right.
I do find him – I find it sad, though, because – and I'll say this and move on. But, I mean, at one time he really did make a contribution. I know that there's nobody probably listening today or watching today that can remember back that far other than me. But he really, our next caller can testify to it. There was a time when he was must listen to. Would you agree, legend? Good afternoon.
Yeah, there was a time he was a Hall of Famer, Paul, hitting .340 a season, 35 homers, 180 RBIs. But in the last 3 years, he's a double-A player with a .213 average.
He just got sent down. Even as we were speaking, he's in Port Lucie, I think. That's where the bus is heading.
Yeah, he's headed to Singaway with AC. AC from Russia, by the way. Fat Americans, man. AC from Russia. I mean, wasn't that a song in the 60s?
Fat Americans. Yeah.
Fat Americans, we are the fat Americans. Let me tell you something, AC from Russia. We're glad to be fat Americans. Get the hell out, brother. Let me tell you something. This country gave me another chance. This country is the greatest dynasty in sports and politics and history. We are the dynasty America, baby. Hey, Paul, I want to tell you this about Jim. Man, you're part of the Black Hat Mafia, dude. Flush this gutted turd and be done with it.
Yeah, you know, that's good advice. I don't know why I've held on and hung on and tried to rehabilitate him. It's I have failed.
You have failed miserably, brother. And I know what it is because I've been a spiritual man in my life. You watching a little of that guy, that preacher you listen to that's always happy. And you're trying to live right. You're trying to do the right thing. Tell me if I'm wrong now. You're trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like sometimes with those who seem the most desperate, maybe there's a glimmer of hope that because he is a religious man, legend, and we've heard that a few times.
He's a gutter turd. Come on, Father, dude's a gutter turd. I mean, on your show, he has verbally assaulted women, children, your staff, and rumor has it, a few reptiles and animals in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I will admit, I've heard that rumor myself.
The dude's a gutter turd. Flush him out to sea with the rest of the whale dung and be done with him, Paul. Be done with him. Hey, Paul, I got up this morning and looked at my life-size picture of Nick Saban, the big fat head. Man, I just went over and kissed Nick right on the lips. You, Nick. You know, Paul, in 15 years, Nick only has 24 losses and 39 first-round draft picks.
Wow.
I'm kissing my fat head, Nick. Now I just love him. I love him. I mean, that's Nintendo. That's Nintendo stuff, Paul. I mean, come on, man. All this crap about talking about Kirby going to be better, Dabo's going to be better. You put all them guys' stats together, they can't make them come close to the GOAT. I'm kissing my fat head right now, Paul. Hey, Paul, place a couple bets today. Tell me if I'm cashing or if I'm crying.
Let's hear it.
A&M under 10 wins for the season. Am I cashing or am I crying?
I think you might be cashing that one.
Yeah, I figure with a 6'6" Mike Shula, Heath Johnson at quarterback, I don't think I got a problem. Georgia under 11 for the entire season. Am I cashing or am I crying?
Now, you know I'm on the Kirby train. I can't go with that one.
Well, I tell you this, Paul, it's harder to stay on the mountaintop than it is to get there. You know that, brother. It's easy to get there sometimes, but, oh, man, it's hell to stay there, brother. It's hell to stay there. They just don't have the same team. I think I'm cashing myself.
Okay.
Tennessee over 8, Paul.
Are you cashing, I want you to put down $5 for me.
All right, I just put 10. I'm putting on BetUS right now. I'm putting you $10 down. And the last one, Paul, Auburn under 6.5. I got a grand on that one. Am I cashing or am I crying?
You know, I think that might be your poorest bet. Now, let me ask you a question now. You don't believe in Brian Harsin?
Man, that's sinful, Paul, for you to even ask me that.
Hey, you didn't hear his assistant head coach on here yesterday saying, last year is last year. We're a different team this year.
You know, I almost threw up when he talked about getting up every day and playing for a national championship. I thought you were talking to an Alabama assistant. Then when he said he was from Auburn, I said, oh, my God. Then he named the people he worked under. Ain't none of them come close to a national championship. Hire that man, Nick Saban. Get him some real experience. And last one, Paul, last one, baby. I got LSU over 8. I think they got an extreme amount of talent. Best wide receiver in the SEC. 4 defensive linemen headed to the pros next year. I think Brian Kelly and LSU are going to surprise. Am I cashing or am I crying?
You're cashing.
You know it, baby. And, Paul, flush that gutter turd. You don't need him, dude. Legend up.
That was good advice, by the way. Roy Kramer in the next hour, the former commissioner of this Southeastern Conference.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.